Create Art Podcast. Commentary. Telling your story. Hello, friend. This is Timothy Kimo Bryan, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I bring my 20 plus years of experience in art and education to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. I have a question for you. Who is your hype person? Who is telling your story to your audience? When you are not physically next to your artwork or and able to answer questions posed by those who enjoy it, how can you speak for the work? Today, I am talking about telling your story, and who better to tell your story than you? I don't know about you, but I really enjoy hearing stories behind the art that I enjoy. The unfortunate thing is that most of the people I enjoy have died and can't tell their story anymore, but they have left a legacy and a body of work that lives on today. If you don't have someone writing your biography down right now, your work may just fade out when you pass. I know it's a bit of a morbid thought, but as I approach 50 years on this rock, I think about my mortality and what those behind me will encounter when experiencing my work. Another thing to think about is how your work will be received after you're gone. You won't be there to defend your work or to explain it. Today, I'm going to help you to ensure that your voice is heard throughout the ages. When you go to an art gallery that specializes in work from previous centuries and read those little cards that describe the piece, do you wonder how they got that information? And do you wish that they would use a bigger font? I know I do. I'm getting close to 50. I wish they would use bigger fonts. Some of it is combined from the artist's writings or biographies, hopefully, but usually it's done by an art historian compiling information from sources that may or may not be primary sources. Now, this is a huge gamble that I don't want to leave to anyone who barely passed art history or relies on Google or Wikipedia searches. When you hear about the inspiration of the work directly from the artist, whether it be from their notes or recordings, it adds a framework that can make the piece better than simply its visual appeal. Now, I really like hearing those stories, and it gives me a greater appreciation for the work. I'm still left to my own interpretation of the work, but now I have a bit of a backstory. I am this way about all forms of art, not just paintings. When you read the biography of artists, you get to peer into their world, and sometimes that explains why they approached the work the way they did. Another reason why I think it's important to have the last word on your work is that tastes change. What is stylish now, attitudes that are accepted now are not necessarily going to be accepted in the future. Take, for instance, Charles Bukowski. Now, I'm a huge fan of his short stories, not a huge fan of his poetry, but give me the short stories and I'm all about it. Not many people can write the way he did or can be so open and honest about their experiences. Now, if he had started in 2022, he would not have the same audience that he had in the 70s through the 90s. And that's with a 19 in front of it, folks, not the 20. In fact, I would wager he would be canceled in our culture today versus his heyday. And that, in my opinion, would be wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a huge fan of many of the choices he made or how he portrayed women. I'm a dad of two girls. But what he did for amateur writers is undeniably empowering by showing that a simple life told in a certain unflinching way can sell books. Luckily, there is a wealth of biographies on him and recordings so that we can, know from his own mind what was going on and the struggles he encountered on the way. We may not agree with how he lived his life, but we can appreciate what he did for future writers. If you read Tucker Max, who is arguably a modern-day version of Bukowski, you get a familiar feeling of his writing style. Unfortunately, his work is going to be very misogynistic. Don't get me wrong. This episode is not a tirade on cancel culture that we are experiencing today. It's just an observation on how to make sure that your ideas and the reason behind them go out and no one speaks for you except for you. When I look at the past writings of myself, I can see where I have grown of my acceptance of other people and cultures and perhaps a mellowing of my ideas. But at the heart of my work is a blue-collar, do-it-yourself guy who ruffles feathers when I ask why things are the way that they are. Now, I won't let my kids read, some of my older work until they are, about 18, because it's not for them. And when they do read it at that time, I hope I've explained myself fully enough so that they will be able to understand what I am going for, even if they don't like the way in which I relate my perceptions of the world. One last point I'd like to make, that telling your story is an art form all into itself. Now, not a lot of people can do themselves justice when telling their audience about how they came about creating their work. There are a number of reasons for this. Maybe they don't want to appear to be bragging, or they suffer from imposter syndrome. Maybe they don't want their audience to get that close. Or lastly, they haven't had a good example on how to effectively tell their story. Telling the story of what you were thinking while you're creating your art is usually the last thing on an artist's mind. They create the work and then move on to the next. But by keeping careful records and notes of what you were feeling or experiencing during the journey of creating the work, it adds value to the finished piece. Showing the process, whether it be in an artist statement or creating the backstory for the piece, is interesting for the audience. And it lets them know what's going through your mind while creating the work. It's in your words, and no one can take that away. In fact, it may make your work more accessible to your fans. So you're probably thinking right now, how can I do this? How can I tell the story of the work and what I was thinking? Well, the first thing you can do is start a journal for each piece or for the group of pieces that you're working on. Start right now. Hit pause on the podcast and go grab a journal and start writing in it. And then, when you get done writing in it, unpause the episode and listen back on in. Now, even if you're in the middle of something, grab a journal, either digital or paper, and start writing your thoughts and feelings. Is there a right way to do this? Absolutely. The way that works for you, so that you can easily get back in the mood or feelings of what you were creating while you're creating that work. Make it easily searchable. That, kind of leads me to think that a digital journal may be the best choice, because you can search for keywords that resonate with your work. I like date stamps because then I can go back to where I started and I can view the process that way and record what I was doing or going through at the time. The next thing you're probably thinking is, what do I put in this journal? Well, you can put in your initial thoughts and maybe a timeline of when you want the work to be finished. Personal details of what's going on in your life at the time. Images or music that influenced the work. It doesn't necessarily need to be just words, images, or sounds. Even scent can help the memory process. You guessed it. I'm not going to say it must be in it. All I'm going to say is if you think it may help you later on down the road, put it in. Now, make sure that what you put in relates to the work you're creating. You may want to make it like a diary. And again, I like the digital method of recording ideas, and that may be the easiest way for you to do it. Also, you want to think about how much of this is going to be relayed to the audience. They may not need the details of what you're snacking on while you're creating the work. I mean, for me, I'm eating a bowl of steel-cut oats and dried cranberries. But knowing, you know, some of those details, it may be nice to know that, you know, hey, you had a surgery that made you change how your work process went and that provided you a new outlook of your work. They don't need to know what the surgery was, but because of that surgery, you had to change how you did your work. Now, I've had interesting thoughts while inside an MRI, and I attempt to record those ideas down, and then that way I have something to, you know, create. Usually it turns into a poem for me, but it can be as simple as a doctor's visit and what happens in the waiting room. Keep in mind, this is not your idea book to get inspiration on creating a work. It's a journal of when you started or just before you started. You can include in details of the idea book, but this is not the place for that initial inspiration. You're recording when you started, when you ended, and the ideas that are happening between those two points. Now, let's look at some ideas from other artists about why it's important to tell your story and how to do it. In the first article I researched by Get Your Shit Together, I love that website, they provided a detailed outline of how to write an artist's statement. They've broken it down nicely for you, and yes, the links are going to be in the show notes. So they break down what an artist's statement is, and more importantly, what it's not. The artist's statement should be welcoming to the reader and not a brag fest. It should be as long as needed, and they recommend no more than one page. In fact, they recommend a few different size statements, but the biggest one should be no more than one page. Now, this limitation is great. It's a great way to be creative in that you're putting down the essential things for your audience to understand the work that you're attempting to get across to them. Now, the article shared 12 reasons why an artist statement is important. And I really liked the reason that it helps you clarify your ideas to your audience and, more importantly, to yourself. If you know you're going to write an artist statement for the work, it can help you stay on track. The next topic is the types of artist statements: a full page, a short statement, a short project statement, and a bio. Now, this all really depends on the audience and how it's going to be used. You may need a full page statement for grants and funding or to attend grad school. You could use a short statement for a gallery where somebody is requesting an interview. And you should at least have a bio on your website and to be, you know, included with your work so that way people can peer into your existence a bit and find ways to connect with you emotionally, intellectually, or even spiritually. There are several recommendations on how to write it, but the thing I really like was keeping it in the first person, and the statement should, you know, conjure up images. Now, they provide some considerations about your statement. One of them is the tried and true method of thinking about your audience, what is going to be useful for them to help them understand your work. They also recommend being honest with yourself and your approach to the work. Don't try to be something you're not. People can spot that, especially if you are there when the work is being experienced and you don't match your statement. If you're trying to come off as academic, but can't talk the talk with academics. You're going to look foolish, or you may alienate your true audience who are not academics. Lastly, they discuss where the statement needs to go. Now, it really depends on where what you're trying to do and how the work is going to be experienced. If it's going to be viewed digitally, then make sure people are viewing the work or listening to it have easy access to the statement. In the next article by Carolyn Edlin in Artsy Shark, she discusses 10 ways to share your story. Now, before she gets into the 10 ways, she has 5 things that should be included in your artist statement, and they are your inspiration to create arts, the process you use in creating your work, the subject matter you chose to depict, the message in your work, and your background in personal history that relates to the body or the work. If you put these points in your artist statement, you should have no trouble filling out a 1-page document that encapsulates your artistic statement. Many of the ways to share your story deal with the internet. You know, posting it on your website, blogging, and newsletters. These are effective if you already have an audience. But if you don't, these may be ways to cultivate your audience and get new people to follow your work. Other ideas deal with people promoting your work. If you make it easy for them to push the information out and practically write their post for them, they are more likely to be interested in your work and view you as a professional versus just another amateur trying to shotgun their work to everyone. Now, when I have guests on the podcast, I really like the ones that come with a media kit ready to go for me to promote it. And it makes it easier to write about them. Lastly, there are the interactions that you have with your audience, whether it's a speaking engagement at a booth at a conference or a sales event. You want to have the statement ready to go no matter where you encounter your audience or where they encounter you and your work. So there you have it. Why telling your story is important and some ways to go ahead and tell your story. I'd be interested in how you accomplish this. If you have an example, please forward it to me via email, timothy@createartpodcast.com. And just to let you know, I have a bio up on my website. It's at createartpodcast.com/your-head-instigator. So check it out. And I have it on my YouTube page as well. On YouTube, you just go to Create Art Podcast. I try to practice what I preach when I talk to you. Now, go out there, tame that inner critic, create more than you consume, make that artist statement, and let the world know what fuels your creativity. Oh, and by the way, go make art for somebody you love, yourself.